The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Bengals beat writers, fantasy football failure Fletcher Page and Paul Dana Jr. take you inside Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go.
All right, welcome back to the latest edition of the BBP, because it's the deuce.
That's right, BBP 2, Bengals beat writers, Paul Dana Jr., Fletcher Page for Cincinnati.com, the Cincinnati Inquirer. We are still here. The team is dead, but we are alive.
Slightly haggard.
Haggard.
A little weary.
Yes. Haggard, weary, but we're still doing it. We're pushing through. We're pushing through because you diehards. Here, again, this is sort of like what we said on Monday. I feel a responsibility to help carry I feel like a grief counselor here. Like, I feel a responsibility to try to help people through this. Everybody's in this together. Everybody's sitting down shaking their heads. Everybody's going through the same issues. Go through it together.
That's right. And the real fans, they can't quit. They can't stop.
I feel like a P. Diddy song, isn't it?
Won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. Yeah, just keep dancing. So here's what we got today. The exodus continues. The IR. It's comical at this point. Andre Smith is in the building.
You seen Andre? You still have Andre's number? Who can you call him?
That's where we're at with that. He's here. AJ Green is back. Nick Vigil is potentially back. I would argue those have been, you could argue those have been the two biggest injuries on both sides of the ball this year. Both those guys coming back would be
helpful.
A good thing. Would be a good thing. For the Bengals. We're going to have predictions. Darquez Denard was our guest on Beyond the Stripes this week. He was really good. We got some of that for you to listen to. His hot seat and just awesome stuff about the charity work that he's doing off the field, which is insanely – it's just an insane story. Just impressive. Awesome stuff he's doing. So let's just start ticking off the boxes here and do this. Two more men to IR this week. Of course, Andy Dalton, you know. Tom Savage is here in the building now. Talked to Tom Savage, who doesn't even have bags. So he was in San Francisco living out of suitcases, and then when he got the call to come here basically overnight when he got claimed on waivers, he couldn't even bring his bags. He's trying to figure out how his boys are going to help like ship his bags to him. He has no clothes. So if you see him wandering naked around the Kenwood Mall, tell Tom hello and welcome to Cincinnati.
Why would he be naked? Why would he just
He doesn't have any clothes!
He just keep wearing the same clothes.
Well, hopefully he'll have nothing but issued Bengals gear at this point. Hopefully they would continue to give him more shirts as he needs them.
It felt like a little bit of a reunion all over the place because Tyler Boyd and Tom Savage have some ties.
Yeah, good old friends from Pitt.
That's right.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd caught 80-plus passes from Tom Savage there. And then our good friend Andre Smith showed up on Thursday.
Jovial.
Happy to be here.
Hey, he said that the weather hit him, though, right in the chest. 30 degrees.
And he was in Arizona. So, so Jake Fisher goes on injury reserve with a back. He's walking around. It looks painful. He can't move. He just is straight up. He looks like he's trying, like when you try to stick your head, like if you try to do a turtle impression, try to stick your head down into your body and get rid of your neck. It's like how he's been walking around and usually in moccasins. I'm pretty sure. So he goes on IR.
And Cordy Glenn's not even in the building.
Cordy Glenn has not been around participating. So his back injury lingers. So call on Andre. So here's Andre. Well, look, he just got cut. He signed a 2-year, $8 million deal with the Cardinals with $3 mil guaranteed. I mean, we're not talking big money here, but it was a 2-year deal for $8 million. They guaranteed him $3 million, and they have a putrid offense. I mean, historic. As bad as the Bengals' defense has been, it would be fun to watch them play this offense and just a poop off, you know? Like that, because they're just both are just awful. And they cut him.
Yeah, I think
he's here now.
Yeah, he started on Sunday.
Von Miller. One of the first things that someone sent me was the video of Von Miller just absolutely destroying Andre Smith, who looked like he was playing in concrete boots around the edge. By the way, Bengals play Broncos on Sunday, featuring Von Miller. It's just, what a mess. What did you do? You talked to Clint. You talked to Andre. What were your impressions of them talking about? Because we're going to see a reconstruction.
Right.
Cedric Abue, he just slapped in the face this week.
What did Marvin say about him again? What was the quote on that?
We've got work to do. How did you think Cedric Abue he did getting in for the first time this year? We got work to do.
He should have said, we've got roster moves to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got Bobby Hart over there on the right side, and
looks like the Clint Bowling to tackle thing is going to be an option.
It is an option.
Which I don't think anybody involved wants that to be a thing, but I think everyone understands where they're at right now. You know, they also don't want to have to be claiming Andre Smith.
I think if I personally could rank those options, I would take sliding Clint out. Then next would be Andre still trying to learn a new offense and play for a quarterback he's never played for, and then said. What's that, too harsh?
And then the 2015 first round pick.
I'm just lining it up. That's the three.
Where you're at. So I would think, yeah, and you get Trey Hopkins, because you get Trey Hopkins in. You don't like Trey Hopkins not playing, considering how well he was doing for you. So you can get him in and play guard. Westerman Hive gets sad.
Got that defensive snap.
He did. Hey, did the Westerman Hive pay attention to his goal line D?
It's never good when
you're playing next to Niles Scott.
When I looked at the defensive grades for Sunday, and Christian Westerman ranked above many mainstays in the Bengals defense for his one play.
Is a homer for Westerman, even on defense. Homer great.
He did his job for that one play,
apparently. Apparently. I'm supposed to care about that, I guess. It is just a mess. So now, an offensive line had been the one position that had stayed kind of immune to this. So 14 guys are on IR now, and we went a lot into the injury thing, and I've got a story that's going to come out on that. It's going to be the cover of the game day section this week. Injuries being a legitimate excuse, you know, and at a certain point, the numbers are what they are. I mean, 14 guys on IR, a lot of key cogs in there. It's just it's tough for any team to handle, and this team is not handling it well. You know, that 2015 draft class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote about this last year. When you are a draft and develop team, like the Bengals are, which they are 1 out of 32 in believing in the draft and develop strategy. You can't whiff on drafts. And it was in last December when they were in the middle of everything falling apart. I wrote about the 14, to a lesser extent 14, but definitely part of it, and 15 drafts just being such huge whiffs that it cost them. And I think it's costing them here again.
Mm-hmm.
Because even trying to hide some of those guys, they're exposed when you have guys get hurt. And they have nothing out of that class. Can you pull that up for me? The 2015 draft class, just real quick. Obviously, the first two are very well known. They have set them back big time. It's Cedric Oboye, Jake Fisher, first round, second round. Tyler Croft in the third. I can probably reel them all off. Tyler Croft, top of the third. Paul Dawson, epic. One, maybe the biggest draft bust that they've had in recent years. Marcus Hardison in the fourth round. And then they had a Josh Shaw, also not here, bust. Fifth round, CJ. So CJ and Tyler Croft, the closest things to contributors that you got out of this. And then you go even further, you get down into the Mario Alford,
mm-hmm.
In the seventh round.
Got
and
one more.
The sixth rounder was, this is killing me.
Come on, you can do this.
Just tell me.
Fresno State.
Oh, Daron Smith, yeah, Daron Smith, yeah. Who is...
See, I wasn't quite sure how to say his first name,
Daron Smith. So he's... I mean, think about that.
Yeah, and that's...
You got two, like, slightly contributing backup, though, tight ends out of a draft that had multiple mid-round picks right in your wheelhouse. Two threes, two fours. I mean, that's a lot of picks. That should be the staple of who you are as a team right now. And Fisher's career here, I would think it's probably over. Cedric Oboye's career here, it's clearly over. Why would you keep him even? Why is he even here if this is what you think of him?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but we're immediately talking. We're talking right now in the short term about offensive linemen. You just laid out the issues there, first and second rounders in the 2015 class. And then I think the biggest trouble spot on defense all year has been linebacker. You know, they missed on some picks at linebacker.
Yes. They've missed on everything they've done at linebacker. I mean, Vigil might actually – he may be turning into something, and we'll see. But that was clearly, I mean, the guys they were, you know, whether it's undrafteds or guys that they've taken or these crappy free agents that they continue to bring into the position, trying to trot out 250-plus pound linebackers like it's 1990 freaking six. Just misunderstanding the game. We've been saying this for a while. I mean, there's a reason Roquan Smith was so coveted.
Right.
Fast, sideline to sideline, I mean, cover, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, just a mess continues. Anyway, I want to, you know, we don't do as much or a ton of player audio anymore because honestly, a lot of times it's just not very interesting. Wednesday was interesting this week.
It was a big day.
Yeah, it was one of the better locker rooms. Because we didn't know AJ was going to talk, but AJ not only spoke but was adamant about a couple of things. One, he is playing Sunday. Two, he has extreme loyalty to the Bengals. I thought it was really interesting. I want to bring that for you. We're going to come back and hit on somebody else that spoke.
The end of the Baltimore game, was that the hardest of this three-game stretch watching?
Yeah, it was tough. Because I feel like we really needed that one. You know, it's tough. We're like 1-3 in the division. So losing the division game back-to-back is tough. But you got to look at it. The last six, them in the sixth spot in the playoff race, I mean, a lot of these teams are 5-6, so we're right there. So we can stack some wins together, you know, start one Sunday. And, you know, control what we can control. Control is that let's win these last five games and see where it put us.
If you play against Baltimore, do you guys win that game?
Of course. We played the last two games that we won that game. So,
do you think you go 3-0?
Hope so.
I mean, do you think you would have beaten the Wolves?
I hope so, man. I feel like, you know, a little, you know, teams play me differently. It's a whole different ballgame when I'm out there. I felt like if I was out there, you know, we had a better chance.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being none, 10 being sole responsibility, how much responsibility do you put on injuries to why you guys are 5-6 right now?
I don't put a big deal on that because you got to look at it last year. You know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl without their starting quarterback, a guy who's playing at the MVP level. So and that's probably one of the most important spots on the team is the quarterback. And they won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. So, you know, there's no excuses for us. We all get paid here. We all try to feed our family. So I feel like if the next guys come in, you know, you got to be able to fill that role for, you know, the guy that just went down. So,
what does this offense have to do to get back to 15? I mean,
For one, man, we just got to be consistent, stay healthier for the most part. It's the biggest thing.
I mean, I know you're not, no one here is happy with where you guys are at right now, but are you happy here in this organization? You feel happy and comfortable here and as much as ever?
Yeah, of course. When I got drafted, was always to stay in one place at one, the whole time, no matter what the situation is. Because if I want to win, you know, I want to bring something to the city. I don't want to be like, oh, AJ left because he wasn't winning. It's just not about football. Just that's who I am as a man, just stay loyal to whoever, you know, gave me the opportunity. But like I said, man, this has been fun. Wouldn't rather be nowhere else. No tough time. That's why I'm here. Try to lead these guys and, you know, get this thing back on the road and for the future. Like I said, got one more year on my contract and then, you know, see what happens.
So you feel loyalty to this place, you know, going forward?
Yeah. Of course, man. I feel like, you know, Andy and I got here, we turned a lot of things around. And I feel like we still can do that. You know, put some more pieces around us and we'll be fine.
So when AJ answered my question, I brought it up because there had been a lot of people speculating, oh, they're wasting AJ's career and he needs to get out of here. He needs to pull a Palmer and demand a trade or he'll retire and all this stuff. And so it just, and him coming back off the injury, the team cascading the wrong direction, it just felt like, let's see what he says is. And I was honestly surprised he went that deep into it. Now, what's he going to say? I mean, you know what? Screw these guys.
Right.
I don't want to be here no more. This place. So there is some of that. But to go as far as he went, I thought was something. And it reminded me mostly about how much he has always idolized Larry Fitzgerald, which is something that should make Bengals fans happy. He loves the idea of spending his entire career with one team.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he was back in Georgia. He was a rarity that way. He signed early. It was like a junior in high school.
He committed early and shut it down.
Shut it down because he wanted to be a guy who was about his word. Everybody obviously wanted him. Everybody was throwing God knows what at him. Probably book bags. Book bags. Book bags full of cash sounds like a thing that would happen. But he was always about that loyalty. I got loyalty. Got loyalty.
You with some Kendrick.
Yeah, no, I like that one. It was on the Creed 2 trailer.
Oh, okay.
So that got me even more hyped on it, which I haven't seen yet. Don't spoil me. It ended interestingly, though. Did you? The last sentence from AJ there?
We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah. I got my contract is up after next year. We'll see what happens then. One thing that will be interesting to watch, one of the more interesting things of next year in August-ish, maybe earlier, probably in August, if they can work out an extension with AJ. He'll be going into the same situation that Gino and Carlos were going into this year, and they're going to want to try to lock AJ up for the duration, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would think they were going to want to pay him, but what's that look like? What does AJ into his 30s money look like? Clearly, they were willing to pay Gino into his and Carlos into their 30s. Will they have the same strategy with 18? The way he's thought of here in this building, I would think so.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Even though he's coming off three straight seasons where he's missed
some
time.
But will he be reluctant?
We'll just have to wait and see.
He's got loyalty. He's got loyalty inside his DNA. You know? So we'll see. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting, but AJ will be back this week to help out Jeff Driscoll, I suppose. What? What?
Just the
what?
You're at the end of the sentences have been like, I guess I'm supposed to care about that.
I mean, look, I suppose. Bengals fans listening right now.
No, no, dude, listen.
Tell me, am I wrong? Are we supposed to care about the games like that, like it matters at this point? 5-6 with Jeff Driscoll the rest of the way out, 5 games. It's over. The season is over.
Keep letting it out. I see you positive, Paul, you know, picking the Bengals to beat the Ravens, picking the Bengals to beat the Browns. I knew the
anger. Stupid. No, it was stupid.
The hatred and the anger.
You know, we had to make the prediction too early in Thanksgiving week. It threw my whole thing off.
Right, I know.
I showed up Sunday, and I was like, what the hell was I thinking? Why would I have ever done this? Sunday morning, I remember, and that's why I went bonkers on the Insta Live, because I was just mad at myself. Like, what the? I wasn't thinking right. Having to do predictions like on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I was reading that. Your positivity was making me negative.
Yeah.
Just in general. Because I was.
Just to try to offset.
Because I cobbled together our predictions and reeled them out. And I was like, I'm not picking this team. Yeah. Well, and then I would read your thing and I kind of felt like maybe I was making a mistake.
I was wrong. I thought AJ was going to play. So did a lot of people. Okay. So the other thing that happened Wednesday. And we'll get this thing moving after this, was Joe Mixon spoke. And, you know, I have the story up now about, look, effort was clearly lacking in some spots, and it was pointed out that Marvin Lewis addressed this to the team, and it's only going to have more opportunities to not give a damn down the next 5 weeks here. There's going to be lopsided scoreboards. There's going to be not playing for Jack. We're going to be using the word pride a lot. Prideful men. And I just thought Joe Mixon's clearly irritated, agitated with some of the stuff he sees around him was interesting. He has quickly kind of become a pulse, like the heartbeat of this team a little bit in a short 2 years here. I find that interesting. He seems to the fact that he's so adamant and not afraid to say this, and he talked last week about sick of playing not to win and playing not to lose instead of playing to win, and seems to be speaking up a little bit more. Anyway, here's Joe Mixon on some the effort related stuff.
We got to figure out a way to, you know, get through that.
I mean, you see you trying to bring the juice out there, even when the score is lopsided like it was Sunday. I mean, how much do you feel like that is from your mentality on how you can try to overcome some of the guys that are hurt is just by you, TB, to kind of just bringing the juice out during a game as much as you can for those guys?
Look, man, I play the game with passion, you know, energy. I try to do whatever I can to, you know, bring my teammates along and onto the level of play that I feel like we could play at. And, you know, it's been frustrating because we haven't, you know, as a whole 11 people on offense. But, I mean, at the same time, man, like, a lot of people, they look at me as the spark. So I take it upon myself and I take it personally to, you know, I got to go make that play and I got to get my team going. And, you know, when I do that, everybody feed off of it, whether it's offense or defense. And, you know, no matter how tough the game's going, I'm never going to quit. I don't care how much we down. I don't care how much we up. I'm still trying to do the same thing from start to finish. And, you know, I play off of a lot of emotion. You know, a lot of players do. You got to learn how to channel it. You got to learn how to work through it and things like that. But, I mean, I love the game of football. And if you don't love the game of football, you shouldn't be playing. But, I mean, like I said, I'm different than a lot of people, but I just do nothing but to hope and put my team in the best position to win and, you know, just hope they follow up. I mean, I can only do so much. But I just try to do whatever I can to go through the game and do whatever I can so we can win.
these last 2 years have been tough on you. I mean, you didn't lose many games before you came here at any level. Has that challenged you? Has that brought something different out of you, being a part of a lot of losses?
I mean, for me, because, you know, I came from Oklahoma. We don't lose much there. Two games at most that I didn't lose there. And at the end of the day, you know, like I said, man, it's at this point and where we at in the locker room, how bad do you want it? It's either you're going to go out there, give it your all, you know, leave everything out on the field, or, I mean, I feel like you might as well just stay in the locker room or don't even come or travel, suit up, whatever it is, you know. But, I mean, everybody know what time it is, man. Like, you know, we sitting at 5-6. We got 5 games left. Like I said, I'm going to go out there, give them my all these next, you know, 5 games. I'm going to do whatever I can, man, for us to be in the, you know, best position possible. But everybody got to want the same thing, and I want it. And, I'm going to do whatever I can to go take it, and that's just me.
Do you feel like you're learning about a lot of guys in this locker room, not only right now but over the next 5 weeks, and who really is on board and
you definitely going to know. You're going to know when adversity hit. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. When you're going through stuff, man, you're going to know who there for the tough times. You're going to know who's going to nut up and go play, you know, 100% out there. You're going to know who's shutting it down. Mm-hmm. You're going to know. At the end of the day, it's like I said, man, it's how bad do you want it?
Yep.
It's either you're going to go out there, give it 100, or just stay in. Don't show up.
Yeah.
Do you feel like some of your teammates weren't giving it all every snap?
I mean, it's just tough because, you know, with the people we got hurt, you know, because, like I said, injuries happen. And I feel like it's just that with the guys that's filling in, you know, I feel like we're just playing a little timid because, one, the game speed is different. And, you know, I understand and I know. So it's like the game speed different. You know, the schemes that, you know, we go against every week is different. And for the new guys that got to fill in them roles, you know, they playing a little slow and, you know, hesitant. But you gotta play anticipated. You got to play and expect, you know, what you think they're going to run. You got to be, you know, with reads and everything. And, you know, like I said, over these next 5 weeks, we're going to see who's going to be out there giving it they all. And, you know, at the end of the day, that got nothing to do with none of us. All in with them as individuals. You're going to know who's giving their effort. People see?
Yeah.
Not good when you're having to talk about effort. We said it was not good when you previously had to applaud effort. Mm-hmm. You know when it's worse? When you have to talk about guys not giving effort.
That's where it was headed the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess that's where we're at. And it's all, you know, it all goes back to the same place. When you start slow, when you come out flat, this is their words, not ours. Look, that it goes back to the same place it's always gone back to. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. All right. Let's get to predictions, and then we can drop in Darquez from BTS. So the Bengals play the Broncos on Sunday. I guess I'm supposed to care about that. Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are going to attack Bobby Hart and possibly Clint Bowling or possibly Andre Smith or possibly Cedric Abuehi. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I have not really been able to read as much about the Broncos as I would like to this week because it's been Andy Dalton into AJ into Andre. Yeah. So I've been really focused on Cincinnati. But everything outside of AJ coming back makes it pretty simple for me to make a prediction.
It's hard to look inside of the kitchen when you're in the middle of the dumpster fire. You know, it's like, it's so hot in here. All my burning flesh is really making it hard for me to see what the muffins smell like today over there.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
You know, account of the burning flesh.
I believe I've lost the ability to taste muffins.
Which is a shame. I love a good muffin. Number one muffin flavor. Are you a blueberry guy?
Not really. I like coffee cake, so I like that. Oh. Yeah, I'm into that.
That's not
if
bad.
If that's a flavor of morning carb, I will eat it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Maplewood has a blackberry lemon scone that they trot out that is off the charts. Nice. It's whenever I decide to have a fat day.
That's right.
I get like the regular entree, and then I drop that scone on top of it just to really fatten up.
I like a white chocolate and raspberry.
That's an interesting combo.
I like those two flavors together.
I try to keep my chocolate in the morning to a minimum.
Yeah.
But blueberry, I'm a blueberry guy. Anyway.
I'm thinking of Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman. There's another one in there too, Booker. I just think that they'll be able to run the ball and they'll be able to Jeff Driscoll.
Just some undrafted practice squad players.
Well, I think that Jeff, it's a good thing Jeff Driscoll's fast. Because you're going to get to see him use his legs a little bit, but maybe not by design.
Yeah.
So I'm going with spread's been moving quickly on this one. Bengals actually opened as favorites. I've seen it as high as 5.5 for the Broncos now. I think the Broncos will cover. Whatever it turns into, I'm taking the Broncos.
Broncos win. Broncos cover. I have 24-13. What did you?
I said 31-28 because
you freaked out in the prediction video. You flubbed.
I'm thinking 31.
You're a formidable flubber.
31-14.
Okay.
Throw in maybe something with Randy. Some Randy shenanigans in there with a field goal miss or something.
God. All right. So there's our predictions. Our predictions are in the book. Thanks again to everybody for listening. We always appreciate having you around. Even though the season has gone down the pooper, we're still happy that you would come along listen to BBP 2 so you can hear our opinions on muffins. and all of the other things that have gone on here. We're trying to keep it interesting for you folks.
We got to quit doing
honestly,
this sober.
It's a tough...
hard part is when you're sober and doing this
tough gig the next 5 weeks. That's trying right. to make this interesting. But we're here, we're gonna do it. We're here for therapy. We're here to try to help you through this, not Hugh through this.
Hugh, can I hit the show?
Kill it.
Okay, am I done?
Kill it.